The reading today is taken from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Hearing and doing the word. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those of you who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Anisha, thank you for that reading. And we also want to thank the boys band that played today. That was quite nice. So the women had the day off from music as well. Let's pray. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. I had a great visit back to the United States. I got to see my grandchild, but I attended a conference of Presbyterian ministers. There's about 50 of us, and we have been getting together since 1993. And I'm part of a smaller group of 8 ministers, and we know each other very well. And we hold each other accountable. It's been a wonderful situation until this year. In the middle of talking about myself and the ministry that we have together here at Union Church, everyone listened, and then there was time for feedback. And one of my former friends said, "Greg, I need to confront you. It seems like you are becoming physically and spiritually flabby." Now, if someone said that to you, how would you respond? Option A, listen very carefully, sift through the criticism, say, "Yes, there's something to this. I'm going to amend my ways. Thank you for the feedback." Option B, "You're not so spiritual yourself," and try to deflect away from myself to someone else, to say that there is blame in this room, but not to me. It's other people who cause whatever situation I'm in. Option C, just to get angry. So I'd like you to turn to the person next to you. Put in your mind a conflict, a confrontation. A, do you listen and learn? B, do you not blame yourself and try to deflect? Or C, do you just get angry? Talk amongst yourselves for just a minute. Okay, if I could call you back to order. I had you talk amongst yourselves rather than ask you to raise your hands, because at the 8:30 service, I got to the, or do you just get angry? And this little girl was trying to push her dad's hand up into the air. So I didn't want to publicly embarrass or shame anyone. There, in those three responses, is something very important. There is a psychologist by the name of Henry Cloud. Maybe you've known him as the author of Boundaries. A psychologist, a CEO, executive coach. He's written a number of books. And his second to the last book was entitled Necessary Endings. And in this book, he talks about three kinds of people. Now, he doesn't get it from psychology and management theory. He gets it from the book of Proverbs. He says it's a bit simplistic, but you can put people into one of three categories. The first category is wise. If your answer was A, if you listened and you learned, you are probably a wise person. A wise person is not necessarily the smartest person in the room, but somebody who is willing to look at his or her life from someone else's perspective, learn from that, make feedback, and change. This Wednesday night, there will be a town meeting here for those of you who would like to give feedback and find out information about the move that's going to happen at Union Church. Many of you will get a phone call from a leader. It's called You Care, where we want to get your input, your feedback. Wise people pay attention to other people. Option B, to kind of deflect the blame, is what Cloud would call a foolish person. A foolish person talks quickly, does not listen, does not learn, does not change. The third kind of person, if you said, I just get angry, you have to be careful that you are not an evil person. Wise person, foolish person, wicked or evil person. The Old Testament is full of talk like that. Now, someone came up to me after the 9:30 service and said, I think I'm married to a fool. The answer is yes, you are. Because Cloud says within each of us is a wise person, a foolish person, and an evil person. But how do we respond? James is a Jewish Christian. He knows the Old Testament inside and out. Psalm 1 talks about a person who listens to God's word. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruits in its season. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff of the wind. Wise, foolish, or wicked. James is writing to Christians in persecution, dispersed around the world. They have suffered. They've suffered trial and temptation. And now he wants them to be wise. And he says, you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, wise, slow to speak, not being foolish, slow to anger, not being wicked or evil. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. Now, the original word is a very interesting one. It can mean physical garbage, filth, but one of the meanings is earwax. Now, in England, when I lived there, I read the account of a woman who was in her 40s. They thought she was deaf. She had a physical exam, and they found out that her ears were completely plugged, with earwax. They cleaned out her ears, and in her 40s, she heard for the very first time. What James is saying is there's things clogging your hearing. Remove those things. Our hearts and our ears are so filled with other things that we don't hear God's word. James says, if you want to be wise, get rid of these things, and then welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Humility, weakness, meekness. My friend confronted me about something in my life, and I had to be humble enough to say, you know what, he's got a point. Besides, when I complained to other people, they said, yeah, he does have a point. No. But to be open to hear God's word is what James is most concerned about. We are so busy and we get our information from so many different places. A few weeks ago, about 3,500 of you showed up to hear or watch the Screenagers movie. If that scared you, I'm going to recommend a book that will scare you even more. It's by Adam Alter. Adam Alter is a professor of psychology, but he teaches at the Stern Business School at New York University. The title of the book is Irresistible: Why We Can't Stop Checking, Scrolling, Clicking, and Watching. Malcolm Gladwell says, a truly addictive book. Can I read a little bit? In recent years, media and technology have perfected the lucrative art of gaining and holding our attention. Now, as Christians, we want God to gain and hold our attention. But this extraordinary feat has changed the behavior of millions of people, especially the young. By current medical standards, we are experiencing an unprecedented global pandemic of addiction to our screens. But what exactly is an addiction, and what, if anything, can we do about it? He begins the book by talking about in January 2010, Steve Jobs unveiled the iPad. He talked for 90 minutes why the iPad was the best way to look at photos, listen to music, take classes on iTunes U, browse Facebook, play games, and navigate thousands of apps. He believed everyone should own an iPad, but he refused to let his kids use the device. But then in closing, he writes, oh no, I've lost my page. Our attitude to addictive experiences is largely cultural. And if our culture makes space for work-free, game-free, screen-free downtime, we and our children will find it easier to resist the lure of behavioral addiction. In its place, we'll communicate with each other directly rather than through devices, and the glow of these social bonds will leave us richer and happier than the glow of screens ever could. I want to celebrate the mothers amongst us because they can't take downtime usually. But we can create downtime experiences, family experiences, spiritual experiences where we take time for ourselves and look at Scripture. And James says, listen. There are all sorts of competing things, but I want you to listen to God's word. But it's not enough just to listen. He goes on to say, but doers, be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Listen, and then put what you hear into practice. Now, the half-brother of James was Jesus our Lord. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, everyone then who hears the words of mine and acts on them will be a wise person. We want to be wise. We want to hear God speak to us. And then we want to put it into practice. The prescription for my physical flabbiness is exercise. The prescription for my spiritual flabbiness is exercise. Paul says, work out your own salvation. James says, don't just be listeners, be doers. For if there are any hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, they forget what they look like and go away. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. I preached 2 weeks ago about regardless of what you're facing, count it all joy. And I encouraged you to have a count it all joy day. I'm afraid to ask, but how many of you tried a count it all joy day? People are, no way, no way. Those of you who raised your hand would say, yes, I understand God's word better because I not just heard it on Sunday, I tried to live it out. And that's what James, who's interested in faith, but he's also interested in works, says, work out, live out your faith. So we listen, and then we do. And then it gets very interesting, verse 26. If anyone thinks they are religious and do not bridle their tongue but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Now, we don't want a worthless religion, right? So James says, if you can't bridle your tongue, and he's going to talk about that a little later, or if you deceive yourselves, your religion is worthless. Friday night, I was coming back on a plane, and I was sitting next to a pilot. And interesting guy, he lives in Florida and in Germany, and he flies mostly between Alaska and Shanghai. He was a fascinating guy, and he was also a non-stop talker. For 2 hours, he talked to me, and it was interesting, but I was able to practice this passage, be quick to listen, because I didn't have any other option. But 2 hours into our conversation, he stopped for breath, and he asked what I did, and I told him that I'm a pastor. And he said he has great respect for Christianity, but he was raised Jewish. And then he said something interesting. I'm not religious, but I believe. It's very interesting. And then we got into a discussion of what is real religion. What is true religion? He had his perspective. I got a few sentences in about my perspective. But I think he's asking a question a lot of people are asking. What is real religion? People see a lot of hypocrites. They see people who believe in theory, but they're not practicing. And James wants us to practice our faith. He doesn't want it to be worthless. So hold your breath. What is real religion? The question that my seatmate asked me, James answers in verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, of all the things that James could have said, why does he say these two things? And there's a continuity between the Old and the New Testaments here that we can't miss. The first is to visit or care for the widows and orphans. I heard recently that between now and Christmas, in the South Sudan, 1 million children under five are going to die. And a lot of them are orphans already. What breaks the heart of God should break our hearts. And God in Old and New Testament says, widows and orphans are very special to me. And I don't want to embarrass her, but one of the founders of Mother's Choice is here with us today. Phyllis Marwat, could you stand? Happy 30th birthday to Mother's Choice. If you want to take God at his word and hear that he really cares about orphans, talk to Phyllis. Talk to Alia Ayers, the CEO. For 30 years, they have been doing an amazing work with orphans and women in distressed pregnancy situations. I think Dale is probably over in U Cafe. He's the chairman of Dale Wethington, a wonderful organization called ICC, International China Concern. The CEO of that organization is a member of Union Church, Peter Mays. And they are doing an incredible work in China with orphans who are severely disabled. So Union has some people who are taking this very seriously, but it sounds like we should all be taking this very seriously. And what is the cultural equivalent of the widows and the orphans to us? Because back then, they had nothing. Who are the people at the boundaries of society who have nobody helping them? Those are the people that God cares for. There is a social justice dimension to the Christian faith. What's pure religion? Taking care of the helpless and hurting. But then, James goes on, and to keep oneself unstained by the world, to be pure, to be holy, to be righteous, to not be a hypocrite, to live out your Christian faith with integrity. Now, too often we say, well, I'm kind of a social justice guy, and someone else says, well, I'm actually a personal righteousness person. But James doesn't give us the option. What's pure religion? Justice and righteousness, both in the Old and the New Testament. A righteousness and a justice that can only come from Jesus Christ in the power of his Spirit. Mothers, fathers, single people, young adults, children, it's time for us all to listen and take God very, very seriously. To carve out time in our lives where we read the Bible, where we pray and we listen. And then to put that into practice in our lives. Now, if I were to ask a question, how many of you had wise mothers? How many of you had foolish mothers? How many of you had evil mothers? That would be an interesting survey, wouldn't it? My father and I were talking about my mother on the one-year anniversary of her death. And my dad says, I can't understand why Mary had so many good friends. And I said, well, why do you say that, Dad? And he said, she always confronted people with the truth. And she did. And we are still getting letters and emails and Facebook things about what an impact my mom had on the lives of so many people because she told the truth. Wasn't always fun to hear, but she told the truth. And some people were wise enough to listen. Others were foolish and kind of deflected. and some might have been just wicked. But I'm so glad for the impact my mother had on me and so many other people. And I'm so glad of the impact that you mothers and mentors are having on your children, on your colleagues. The world is looking for wisdom. There's enough foolishness and evil to go around. And friends, we are able, through Jesus Christ, to live a life of wisdom. And as God, through His Spirit, changes us, we can change our world. James says, listen to God, and then live it out.